Good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? God is good all the time. Has God been good to anybody in the house? We are so grateful for you to be here this morning. If you're a first-time guest, make sure all first-time guests, before you leave, you go to the Welcoming Center. We have a gift for you that includes a free CD of my testimony we want to bless you with. I want to invite everybody to turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. As you're turning to Acts chapter 11, just a reminder that next week is our first membership seminar for the year. It's going to be, I believe, at 2 p.m. And I want to encourage everybody to attend. I want to remind some of y'all, if not all of us, but some of us at January, we lifted up our hand and we said, God, we want to experience you this year like never before. Some of us lifted up our hands and said, Lord, I want to walk with you this year like never before. And so I want to just let you know that being a part of that membership seminar is part of your pressing into this year. It's part of you fulfilling, you know, that desire to walk with God much stronger in this year. So make sure you sign up in the Welcoming Center before you leave today. That's next Sunday at 2 p.m. We are going to be studying our last core value today. If you missed any of our lessons for the last 6 weeks, make sure you go to our YouTube page and you look up Chapel of Change TV, and you can go back to any one of the lessons of this last 6 weeks. So I just want to remind y'all that we upload our sermons to YouTube page every Sunday late afternoon. And you could always go back and listen to the message again. How many know we don't get it the first time? Sometimes we need to listen to it two or three times if you're like me. Someone say amen to that. Today we're going to be studying from the core value, we are people who display diversity. Someone say that with me, display diversity. Some of y'all are new at our church and you are exploring what we are about. You are been coming to several of our services and you're kind of filling out what Chapel of Change is about. And one of the things you need to get is that we are a church that prioritizes and prays over being diverse. Someone say diverse. We are a church that prioritizes being diverse ethnically. We are also a church that prioritizes being diverse generationally. Someone say generationally. So we are not just a church for young people. I praise God that we sent maybe about 40 youth or so yesterday to camp. Amen. We got a lot of teenagers a part of our church. We have a lot of young adults part of our church. But we are not a church exclusively for young people because one of our priorities is to be diverse generationally. We are also a church that prioritizes being diverse economically. What do I mean by that? Well, we are a church of people that gather together from different spaces and places in life. We're not all the same. We don't all have the same economic kind of a status or background. In fact, one of the stories that I often tell about the diversity of Chapel of Change is when about 7 years ago, when I was walking up to the building to go to church, and I looked at the parking lot and I saw the different vehicles that people use to get to church. I saw in the parking a bicycle, and we praise God because some people come to church on a bicycle. Amen. Praise God for that. And next to the bicycle was a Mercedes-Benz, right? And we praise God because some people come to church in a Mercedes-Benz. And next to the Mercedes-Benz was an old beat-up Ford truck. And we praise God for the old beat-up trucks, because some people come to church in old beat-up trucks, and praise God for that. And next to the old truck was a 64 Impala, a lowrider car. And we praise God for the lowrider cars. Some people come to church in lowrider cars. And but when I saw that picture of diversity, the Holy Spirit really impressed upon my heart that that it is what God is after. That is the heart of God, a group of people that come together from different spaces and places in life, coming together as one to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, did you know that heaven is diverse? Did you know that heaven is diverse? Did you know that there's unity in heaven? There's oneness in heaven? In the book of Revelations, you don't have to turn there, but in chapter 7, verse 9, I'm going to put it up on the screen. It paints a picture of heaven. And look what it says. I want to point this out, this picture of heaven. It says, after this, I looked, and I saw a multitude too large to count from every nation and tribe and people and tongue standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Notice how heaven looks like. Look at the picture of heaven. Notice there's not a group over there and a group over there and a group over there. No. The Bible says that around the throne of God is every nation, every tribe, every people, and every tongue. And when you study the rest of the chapter, you'll learn that what are they doing at the throne of God? They're worshiping the Lord. They're praising God. Now, what I want to suggest to us this morning is that this picture of heaven is not in the Bible just so it could be something futuristic that we look for and that we look towards. That's not why this picture is in the Bible. One of the main reasons why this picture of heaven is in the Bible is to be a vision for us right here, right now. This is how the church is to look like right here, right now. We, as the Church of Jesus Christ, are to be a snapshot of heaven on earth. Anybody follow along? That is what the church is supposed to be like. Let me teach you a little bit about the church. The Church of Jesus Christ is to embody the kingdom of God. We are not to look like the community as much as we are to look like the kingdom of God. When you look at the church and you say, what is the church to look like? You are to first look at the kingdom of God in the scriptures. What does the kingdom of God reflect? Well, how does the kingdom of God look like? Because the church is to embody heaven on earth. If you're just sitting around here waiting to go to heaven, you're waiting for the wrong thing. Our prayer and our goal is to bring heaven to earth right now through the local church. We ought to be a place that reflects the atmosphere and the culture of heaven, that includes miracles, that includes healing, that includes forgiveness, that includes reconciliation, but it also includes diversity. Anybody follow along? The church is to embody the age to come. That's not in there just for us to look at. Jesus prayed in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice the prayer of our Jesus. Notice the prayer of our Lord. Listen, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now let me remind you, this is not a pretty little prayer that Jesus just said. No, this is a spiritual military assignment for every follower of Jesus Christ. If that was on the heart of Jesus, then that is what we ought to be praying for and laboring toward and working toward to bring heaven down to earth right here and right now. Does this make sense to anybody? It's the prayer of Jesus. Now, I am grateful and I am thankful that Chapel of Change is one of the most diverse churches in all of America. Somebody ought to praise God for that. I didn't say all of Paramount. I didn't say all of Long Beach. I said all America. I know what I said. I know what I said. I said all America. I'm talking about across the United States. We celebrate diversity. Not too long ago, our church was featured in a national magazine in part because of our diversity. And I want to show that picture. We were featured and celebrated for our diversity in this national magazine to the glory of God. Now, this is significant because today, 2020, in the great old United States of America, today, 77% of all the evangelical churches in America are still segregated by race. That's why this is significant. That's why we're still talking about it today. Today, not in 1950, not in 1960, not even in 1980. Today, as you look across America, the church at large is 77% of evangelical churches in the United States are still segregated by race. It's a sad statistic that we need to talk about, we need to pray about, and we need to work towards breaking down. We're, in general, at large, the church is preaching the most powerful message in the world from segregated pulpits. It's a sad reality that diversity is mostly everywhere in society except the church. The church at large is falling behind when it comes to truly reflecting what the kingdom of God is to look like. We're falling behind and we need to wake up. We have the most powerful message in the world, but we're not utilizing it to how it should be utilized. I often say, I've said this before, every time I speak at a conference on diversity, I often say I'm amazed at how rap concerts can be more diverse than the church. I'm amazed at how nightclubs can be more diverse than the church. Do they have something more powerful to offer the world than the Church of Jesus Christ? Do they have something more significant to offer the world than we do? No way! No way! Something's wrong. Somebody dropped the ball. We got to talk about this. We got to pray about this. Now, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful because as I look across America today, I do see God raising up more and new churches that will demonstrate that the power of the gospel still brings different people together. I've got the opportunity the last couple of years to go across the nation. And so I'm hopeful because I see God raising up new churches that are demonstrating, not just declaring, but demonstrating the power of the gospel by bringing different opposing groups together in the church. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that there's a wave of God that is sweeping across America. And I'm grateful that Chapel of Change is part of that wave. Now, when you think about diversity, because I'm gonna give you something not just to pray about, I'm gonna give you something to think about. When you think about diversity and you think about being a part of a diverse church, there are many practical benefits from being part of a diverse church. Many practical benefits that help your family and help your kids and help you. In a diverse church, you learn from people's cultures, right? In a diverse church, you learn from other people's cultures and you become richer as a human being. You become richer as a human being. At Chapel of Change, one of the things that I celebrate is that we have a huge Polynesian community, a part of Chapel of Change. We have a huge amount of Polynesians that worship together here, that pray together here, that serve the Lord together here. And in the last 7 years, I've learned so much from the Polynesian culture. I've learned so much. I've learned about valuing family, and I learned about honor, right? You learn about honor. You learn about valuing family. Some of these things I wouldn't have learned on my own, but I've learned it from my brothers and sisters that are different than me. Anybody fall in love? I remember the first time I got invited to a Polynesian birthday. It was the first time I went to a birthday and I received a gift. It was the first time. I never went to the birthday. Every time I go to a birthday, I'm bringing the gift. It was the first time I received a gift. They called me up and gave me $100. I said, praise the Lord. I need to go a lot more of these birthdays. But you become richer as a human being by learning from each other's culture instead of just saying hi from a distance. In a diverse church, we break down the walls of racism, segregation, and speculation. In a diverse church, when we serve together, love together, pray together, right? We break down the walls of segregation and racism and speculation. One of the main reasons why groups of people don't like other groups of people is because they never interact with one another. They never interact with one another. And if you never interact with one another, suspicion rises. Anybody follow along? Just recently in the news, our city of Paramount came on the news because in the high school they were having racial riots. And you'll see fighting with the youth because of racial tension that was happening in the local high school down the street. And I'll bet that some of the youth that started those riots, it happened because they don't live a life where they interact with other people that of other races. I'll bet that some of them never interact with other races. So there's a speculation that arises in their heart. I remember when I was in prison. Prison is full of racism. And I remember they try to get me to be racist, right? They try to project their racism onto my life and make me go with the flow and go with the culture of racism. And one of the reasons why I was able to reject racism, one of the reasons why I was able to resist racism is because I didn't grow up like that. I grew up going into other people's houses and eating dinner with other people that didn't look like me, didn't walk like me. So when they try to project it on me, I said, no, that's not how they are. When you're part of a diverse church, we're setting up our kids to live in a diverse society. We're setting up our kids to learn how to interact with people that don't look like them, act like them, walk like them. And let me tell you something. Our society, whether the church is getting diverse or not, our church, we're living in a society that is increasingly becoming diverse. We're setting up our kids to live a fruitful life. So today, I want to turn to Acts chapter 11. And I'm just going to pull out a couple reflections as to the heart of God on diversity, the heart of God. And if you're able, I want to invite you to stand to our feet for the reading of God's word. If you're able, let us stand to our feet as I read God's word. Now, before I read chapter 11, I want to give you some context so you could understand what's going on. Acts chapter 11, we find Peter giving a summary of what happened in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 11, we see Peter before the Christian leaders or disciples, and he's explaining what he did in Acts chapter 10. When you go to read Acts chapter 10, you'll learn that Peter did something revolutionary that shook up the church. Peter did something revolutionary that turned everything upside down. Peter, being a Jewish man, embraced a Gentile who converted to Jesus Christ. And by Peter crossing the lines of racism, he upset the early church. And in Acts 11, we find him defending what he did because it was God, the one that initiated the destructions of the walls of racism and division. Everybody follow along. So in Acts 11, you're going to hear the summary. You're going to learn that Peter was a Jewish man and the early church was formulated or birthed out of Judaism. The early church was birthed out of Judaism, but God's vision for the church was not to stay amongst the Jewish culture. God had a global vision for the gospel. But the problem was the early leaders did not follow the leading of God, and they stayed in Jerusalem until God began to wake them up and get them out of their nest. Everybody follow along? Let me read it. Acts chapter 11, verse 1. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him. Those are the Jewish people, saying, "You went into the uncircumcised men and ate with them." Those are the Gentiles. Verse 4. But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was with I was in the city of Joppa praying. Someone say praying.
Praying.
How many know good things happen when you pray? And in a trance, I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creepy things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But I said, "Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth." But the voice answered me again from heaven, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. I want you to notice that. They entered the man's house. Notice they didn't stop on the street and throw a rock in the window. They entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved." And as I begin to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. How many need the Holy Ghost to fall? Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, "John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." That baptism is still good for today. Verse 17. "If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us to when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" When they heard these things, they became silent. How many know God will silence your enemies? And they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." Let us pray. Father God, we open up your words this morning to eat. Feed us wisdom. Feed us faith. Feed us strength, Lord God. Please don't allow us to leave as we came, in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning, just give you a couple reflections about God's heart for diversity. God's heart for diversity. Why are we taking this time to talk about diversity? Why is this a subject that is near and dear to God's heart? And I just want to bring some principles that are rooted in this passage of Scripture in chapter 11. And this is the major thing that I want us to get, is that God's heart is for his church to reflect diversity, to demonstrate the power of the gospel. I really want us to get this morning. Why is diversity so important in the church? We are not diverse just to be diverse. We are not diverse just because it is a trend. No, it is deeper than that. God's heart is for his church to reflect diversity, to demonstrate, someone say demonstrate, demonstrate the power of the gospel. God doesn't want us just to declare the gospel. God wants us to demonstrate the gospel. Now let me unpack this in this passage of Scripture. And I need to remind you of a couple things. Let me just remind you that historically, the Jews and the Gentiles hated one another. Let me remind you that historically, the Jews would not talk to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles would not talk to the Jewish people. Let me remind you that the Jewish people looked so down upon the Gentiles that they considered them wild, ravenous, flea-ridden dogs. That's how much animosity was between the Jewish people and the Gentile people. So when we read in Acts 11, the summary of God bringing together Peter and Cornelius, the Jews and the Gentiles, what we are seeing is the miracle of reconciliation. Someone say reconciliation. What we discover in this passage of scripture, that God is the initiator of this miracle of reconciliation. Now, reconciliation is a big, big Bible word that we need a basic understanding of. When you talk about the word of reconciliation, it speaks of bringing two opposing groups together. It speaks of making peace after war. So you got to get this. This is a big Bible word. This is part of the foundation of the gospel. Reconciliation is part of the foundation of the gospel. When you hear that word, it speaks of bringing two opposing groups together. It speaks of making peace after war. Now, what I want to drill into our hearts this morning, that in Acts chapter 11, it is God who is the one who is moving and bringing these two opposing groups together. It wasn't Peter's idea. It wasn't Cornelius's idea. It wasn't a man-made idea. It was God. So note, God sends an angel to speak to Cornelius, who is a Gentile, about Peter, who is a Jew. Note, God gives Peter a vision of his plan for reconciliation with Cornelius. Note, it is God through the Holy Spirit that leads Peter to Cornelius's home. All throughout this story, you see the hand and the power of God working this miracle of reconciliation. What do I mean when I say reconciliation? Reconciliation means bringing two opposing groups together. It's making peace after war. And one of the things that we need to understand today, my brothers and sisters, is that God is for reconciliation of all groups of people. God is for the reconciliation of all groups of people. When we read this passage of scripture, don't just think of Jews and Gentiles. If you just think of Jews and Gentiles, you're not going to apply it to your life. It's not just referring to Jews and Gentiles. It's talking about white people, black people, brown people, yellow people, Democrats, and Republicans. It's talking about all groups of people. Reconciliation is the power of God that brings together opposing groups. We need to understand that this morning, we're entering into election season, and things are going to get heated up on the news, and there's going to be heated debates, and there's going to be people talking about other people and people talking about other groups, and we're entering into this heated election season. And I want to remind you that as your pastor, that if you're a born again Christian, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, our allegiance is not to a donkey or an elephant, but to the Lamb of God. I want to remind us this morning, our allegiance is to the Lamb of God. Anybody following along? Our allegiance, we are not married to a political party, but the kingdom of God. There's a subplot in the work of the gospel that we need to be reminded of. That the gospel does not just bring us back to God. That's one form of reconciliation. That is the vertical aspect of reconciliation. But there's a horizontal aspect of reconciliation that we often leave out of the gospel message. That the gospel doesn't just bring us back to God, but the gospel brings us back to one another. The gospel brings us back to one another. The gospel is not just an individualistic reconciliation with God, but the gospel is an interracial reconciliation with one another. Get this, I want to remind you, one of the purposes of the gospel is to bring the races back together in the church. One of the purposes of the gospel is not just to get you to heaven, but one of the purposes of the gospel is to bring the races back together inside the church. We've left this out historically. We've left this piece of the gospel out, and we wonder why we're producing segregated pews. Because we're only preaching half of a gospel. Anybody follow along? Sin divided us, but Jesus unites us. Sin divided us, but Jesus unites us. Is Jesus still powerful to bring us together? I want to show this in the scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. I'm putting it up on the screen. Look at this. Look at the power of the gospel. For Christ himself, I love that, himself. This is so important. He did it himself. He didn't send his secretary. He didn't send his ambassador. He did it himself. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. Someone say one people. One people. When in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Notice that. Notice the power of the gospel. He broke down the walls of separation. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself, get this, one new people. One new people from the two groups. Look at what the gospel does. It creates one new people in the church. We, the church, is supposed to be one new people. We are supposed to be a new breed of people that the world has never saw before. That is the purpose of the church, so that we can be one new people. So people from different places and spaces in life, they gather together, and together we become one new people. The church is to be a new society. The church is to be a new breed of people with the mission to embody heaven on earth. Our mission is to embody heaven on earth. We're talking about God's heart. What is God's heart on diversity? Does this mean anything to God? Is this near and dear to his heart? Yes, it is. On the night Jesus, before Jesus died, he prayed specifically for the church in John chapter 17. Three times in three verses, he prayed that we would be one. Look at this. The night before Jesus died, what was on his heart? What was on the heart of Jesus before he died? It was us. We were on his heart. And what did he pray for us? He prayed for us. Jesus prayed for us. What did he pray? John 17, 23, it says, he looked up to the Father and he says, may they experience such perfect unity. He prayed for our unity. He prayed for our oneness. Why does he pray that? Why does he pray that we be one? I'll tell you, he says it. That the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Get this. This is so powerful. Our oneness proves that the Father sent Jesus. Our unity. Our unity proves, it testifies that the Father loves the world as much as he loves Jesus. When the world looks in and sees our diversity and our unity, the scripture says that is a testimony that the Father sent Jesus. When the world looks in and sees our diversity, the scripture says it testifies to that person's heart that the Father loves them as much as he loves Jesus. Anybody picking this up? This is deep. No wonder why the devil is so fixed on dividing us. No wonder why the devil's so fixed on separating us. No wonder why the church in America is 77% divided by race. Because if he can divide us, he dilutes our message. If he divides us, he pollutes our message. This right here is the message of the gospel. This is the message of the gospel. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. So if the devil can divide us, he dilutes our message. Listen, we have the most revolutionary message in the whole world. We have the most powerful message in the whole world. And I got news for you. The devil's not after you as much as he's after our message. He don't care if you preach as long as them words fall to the ground. And so Jesus prayed. He prayed for our unity. No wonder why the devil is coming after churches to divide them. Because he knows the heart of God is for us to be united.
Anybody picking up what I'm putting down?
Number two, God calls us to embrace diversity, not just tolerate it. Calls us to embrace, not just tolerate it. Let me unpack this for a moment, that God's intention with Apostle Peter was not just to change his mind about racism, but to change his lifestyle. God's intention was not just to change Peter's mind, but it was to radically change his lifestyle. God didn't want Peter just to tolerate Cornelius from a distance, but God told him to embrace Cornelius as a brother. God didn't tell Peter to go to the sidewalk and wave at Peter from inside the house. He didn't tell Peter to go to the sidewalk and throw a rock at the window. No, he told Peter, go into that house and have dinner with that brother. Embrace him as your brother. That is a radical move. It's a radical move. God didn't come. Jesus didn't die just to make you better. Jesus died to radically change your life. If we are Christians, it's not enough just to say we're not racist. If we are Christians, it's not enough just to say I don't hate anybody. No, we must radically demonstrate what Jesus done for us to others. Anybody picking up what I'm putting down? The goal of the gospel is not to make us better, but it is to radically change our lives. Jesus came to make a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to put it up on the screen. Look at this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Someone say new creation. The original wording for this means a new species that never existed before. That's what God made in the church. The church is supposed to be a new species that never existed before. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It doesn't say if anyone's in Christ, he is a better person. It's a new creation that lives a radically changed life. This new creation lives a radically changed life. This new creation loves those who hate them. That's radical. This new creation forgives those that hurt them. That is radical. So God wants us to embrace diversity, not just tolerate diversity. Lastly, number three, God calls us to risky faith. He calls us to risky faith. The whole situation for Peter was risky and uncomfortable. Peter told Cornelius when he talked to him that what he was doing was against the law. In fact, Peter tells him in Acts chapter 10, verse 28, he says, you know it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home. Peter was risking his life to follow after God. Peter was risking his life. When he entered into that home, he risked his life. When Peter crossed the threshold of that door, he risked his reputation by following God. What Peter did was so revolutionary that even some of the Christian brothers criticized him for doing it. In Acts chapter 11, verse 2, it says, but when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, Jewish believers criticized him. Are you willing to be criticized by following God? Are you willing to be criticized by your peers, your family? Are you willing to be criticized for following God? I want to remind us today. I want to remind us that the greatest threat to Christianity is comfortable Christians. I want to remind us this morning that the greatest threat to Christianity is not unbelievers. The greatest threat to Christianity is not persecution. We have survived persecution for decades and decades. We don't die, we multiply. The greatest threat to Christianity is comfortable Christians. You know why? Because they won't sacrifice nothing for God. They won't do nothing for God. They won't ever step out of their comfort zone. They won't ever risk anything for God. They won't ever move when God tells them to move. They won't do nothing for God. How do you know when God is working in your life? How could you discern When it is the work of God moving in your life. I'll tell you one way you can discern is when you start being led to do something that is uncomfortable. When you start being led out of your comfort zone, you can best believe that is the Holy Ghost trying to produce a miracle in your life. I thank God. I thank God that Chapel of Change is a risky church. I thank God that Chapel of Change has risky faith. I thank God that we are not a church that is in love with the four corners of these walls, but we are willing to invade spaces and places that many people don't want to go. I thank God that we're not a normal church. I thank God that we're courageous enough to step out in faith even when we don't see the next step. About a week ago, they had some riots, many fights at Paramount High School. It was so noteworthy that the news showed the fights. And you could see it on the cell phones, people fighting. And on Tuesday night, we, the church, got an urgent message. A couple people sent us an urgent message. They said, Brian, there's some racial fights going on at Paramount High School, and we need some support. And we want to ask if some Kingsmen will go and stand with us for peace and unity. They gave an urgent call. Urgent message, Tuesday night, and it was supposed to be Wednesday morning. I thank God that some of us at Chapel Change, we're like firemen. When that bell rings, sometimes we don't even brush our teeth. We just jump on that pole and slide down. I thank God. This is a special elite force at Chapel Change. Because with one night's notice, several of our Kingsmen took our ministry truck right here, and they drove to Paramount High School. And they set up shop. I'm going to show you this picture. They set up shop at Paramount High School. And they put up our ministry picture that we don't have, but I'm going to tell you about. They put down the sign and they said free prayer. And some of our brothers, they stood with the rest of the community. And they stood up for peace. And they stood up for unity. And they stood up for diversity. And the news came down. There was like news microphones. I hope the brothers spoke right? And they spoke up for peace and unity and diversity, right? And let me just say this. If I could just talk like family for a moment. If our church wasn't already diverse, I would not feel good for our brothers to go out there. If our church wasn't already diverse, what in the world gives us the right to stand before a dying world and tell them that they could be unified if we're not even unified? If our church wasn't already diverse, I think I would have pulled back. I don't know if that's right to go out there because I would have felt like a hypocrite. But thank God. Thank God we not only talk about this, but we do our best to walk about this. Thank God that when the society will look in the Chapel Change, because there's smart people in the world. They're smart people. They're not no dummies. The world is not filled with dummies. They're smart people. And they're going to see us out there. And they're going to say, oh, you guys are talking about unity. And you guys are talking about, diversity. Well, we're going to look inside and see if you guys are walking what you're talking. And we're going to say, God bless you. Come on in and see the kingdom of God. About 2 weeks ago in this church, after 12:30 service, I walked to the lobby and I talked to a first-time guest. This first-time guest, she drove all the way from Anaheim Hills. And I stood there and she began to testify. She was an African-American lady. And she said, Brian, I just want you to know that before service, I stood up on my own. And I looked around at everybody who was about to worship and praise God. And I said quietly within myself, this is what heaven looks like. This is what heaven looks like. My brothers and sisters, may we never lose our courage. May we never lose our fire. May we continue to work for and pray toward heaven being manifested on earth through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow our heads before the presence of the Lord with every head bowed and every eye closed just for a couple moments as the worship team comes back up. Just for a couple moments, we want to reflect upon the word of the Lord. The Lord has spoken this morning through the worship. The Lord has spoken this morning through the scripture. And we want to just reflect on the word of the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed, as everybody remains seated in reverence to the Lord. What is it that God was trying to get across to you?